Thank you. Thank you, Butch. That, I love that song. Well, good morning. Kids, you're dismissed to go with Donna for Children's Church. Good to see you this morning. We are having an unseasonably warm December, but I'm not going to complain. And I just want to remind you all, I'm going to remind you one more time at the end of the service, that you all have a special gift from the Hmong women. They made egg rolls this morning, fresh. This morning they fried them. They rolled them up and fried them just this morning. And they are in bags with your names on them. One bag for each household. And if I know your name, they have your name down there. So we have many bags of egg rolls on there. So make sure that everybody takes theirs. If you would like hot peanut sauce or hot sauce, I think they have those in cups on the back table, and take sauce if you'd like it. So that's kind of an unexpected Christmas gift for you all, and I hope you all enjoy it. If you don't like egg roll, take the egg rolls and give them to somebody who does. We have a volunteer. Paul's got his hand up back too. So, but please don't leave them. Please remember to take them with you. It's kind of one of those unexpected gifts that sometimes come at Christmas time. Even expected gifts can sometimes be unexpected. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Begin with verse 26 and we'll read through 4-7. It says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to the guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for gifts which are expected yet come unexpectedly. Lord, we thank you for your love manifest. Lord, we thank you that you have opened our hearts and minds to receive it for ourselves. Lord, we pray right now that we would give our full attention to you and your word. Lord, I pray that as I speak, Your people would hear Your voice. And that no matter what I say, they would hear what it is You have to say for them. So that they might be encouraged and blessed and brought closer to You. That they too might be a blessing to those around them. Lord, I pray that You would be the one who is honored and glorified at this time. And Father, we all come together right now lifting up Jesus and saying thank You for the gift of a Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been preaching in Hebrews. And last week we looked at verses 11 through the end of chapter 2. And what we see here in this section of Galatians kind of covers much of that same ground. And that's an important thing to note. On those things which are really important in Scripture, we're going to find them more than just one place. Those are teachings that we're going to find many places throughout Scripture. And that the entirety of Scripture, as you look at it as a whole, will lift up and support. If I'm preaching or teaching something and you can't find it taught in Scripture, ignore what I said. If I'm holding up one piece of Scripture to you to look at today, but there aren't other pieces of Scripture which are in line with that, then carefully determine how much weight to give to that piece of Scripture. Because it is Scripture. So it needs to be given the weight of God's Word. But remember, there are certain points which God wants to drive home in such a way that there is no doubt. And the one which the entirety of Scripture comes around is the fact that we need salvation. Okay, the entirety of Scripture teaches that principle. Stepping on a pencil, I'm going to break my leg. I already done that. Don't need to do it again. Hee hee. So, Scripture is teaching that we need a Savior. Where do we generally look for a Savior? We look at some those who are above us, those who are stronger than us, those who are more mighty, more powerful, more resources, bigger, better. That's where we look for help and salvation. You know, if Crown College, and they do, needs assistance, they have people who go out and they knock on doors and ask for money. But the doors that they knock on don't normally have a Brooklyn Center address. Usually more like Wayzata or one of these gated communities up there. People whose homes are worth a lot more money than anybody who we have living here or attending here. Because if you need a lot of money, you go to somebody who has a lot of money and say, hey, would you help us out? Now, that college also sends out a letter to all the alumni and to anybody who's ever given any money in the past and somebody who might have signed up for something. If they get your name, they'll send you a letter requesting that you consider supporting them. And there are some who will send nothing. And there are some who will send just a couple of dollars. But what you find is that it's the little donations that comes from the minor sources which often make up the lion's share. Even though they might have somebody chasing after these large donors, it's really the small donors that fill the pot. That's what the Salvation, that's why the Salvation Army has got these little kettles up in all these places every year. And people walk by, and how much money do they stick in? I don't know, when I walk by, I stick in whatever change I have in my pocket at the time. That's usually not a lot, but it's something. I don't count it. But when I walk by, if I have any change in my pocket, in it goes. If I don't have any change, occasionally, you know, quite often, nowadays I don't even have much in the way of cash because, I mean, most of us don't even carry cash anymore. We got these little cash cards, we go zip, zip on everything, right? Well, Target said no kettles in front of Target. What they're going to do is they're going to give $1 million to Salvation Army. And Salvation Army says, that's not what we want. We don't want your $1 million. We just want to be able to stand in front of your store and ring our bell. Why? Because quite frankly, they're going to get more than $1 million by standing in front of the stores. There you go. Because people give the little gifts. And the gift comes from unexpected sources. Sometimes in these kettles, you have people who just come and stick something in there that's worth a whole lot more than the change that's in my pocket. Again, it comes unexpectedly from those who are smaller down below. So maybe we need to rethink the idea that help always comes from those who are powerful and wealthy. And we have a really good basis to look at. We have Jesus, who is God, by the way. And just as Butch sang this morning, when Mary kissed the face of Jesus, her son, she was kissing the very face of God. She was also changing his diapers. Well, that seems rather not very spiritual, Pastor. Kind of crude, wouldn't you think? Well, God came into this world born of a woman. Just as every single one of us did. Anybody here not born of a woman? Nope. There isn't any other way to be born. There is a woman involved. Most of them say it's not real pleasant. There's pain. There's blood. Yet somehow it is the most, single most beautiful moment that occurs. I was there for the birth of all three of my boys, and it's like, you know, Donna's telling me right up until she had Jason, it's never going to happen again. We got two more, and she wanted to have more. It was me pushing that reason why we didn't have more than three. She would be more than happy to have a dozen. I just said I couldn't deal with it. Why did Jesus come as a baby? Why did he come through that less than noble means? As a matter of fact, quite humble. Actually laid in a manger, a feeding trough. We pretty ours up. I mean, ours has got nice, you know, this is probably much nicer than what Jesus was laid in. Certainly cleaner. I'm sure they put fresh straw or something in the manger to lay him in. But don't know if you've checked, but straw's dirty. People don't normally wash it. You know, it sits on the ground and it's not like this stuff we got. You know, I don't think you could probably serve food off of it. I mean, it's except for the dust from chew, but I mean the stuff is clean. There's no bugs, there's no dirt. But Jesus came as an infant for the purpose of living every aspect of the human experience. In fact, it says here, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law. We always think that Jesus was above the law or beyond the law somehow. But Jesus, in fact, was under the law Himself. He is the law. He is the Word of God. But yet He submitted Himself to be under the law, to be subject to it, to be subject to all the trials and travails of life, to be bit by chiggers in a feeding trough. I don't know if any chiggers would have dared bite him. I don't know. I dare say, probably. He did come to experience all that we did. Anybody ever got a bug bite? Somehow I think he was too. That's at least what Scripture says. Not in particular that he got a bug bite, but that he experienced all that we did. All that's common to man. Now remember, man here, and even son here, is inclusive. For we're told earlier that there is neither male nor female, for we are one in Jesus Christ. Basically, son is a generic term. It also means daughter. But that just gets complicated when you're trying to talk and say, you know, they weren't big on political correctness when they wrote this, okay? They didn't have to do that. But Jesus came, born of a woman, just like you and I, under the law, just like you and I. Baby in a manger doesn't look like much of a salvation. Not all sorts of power. He wasn't born in a palace. And instead of having the palace guards and the wealthy and powerful coming around to celebrate his birth, the most disreputable group of people, shepherds, came to celebrate the birth. God is teaching us to look to Him, but don't expect to see Him as just the Almighty, All-Powerful. He has also lived the life of pain and suffering that is common to all people. He lived the life of temptation under the law. That means that while Jesus was tempted, the question has been put to the people, but if He was God, does the temptation count? Because could He have really succumbed to the temptation? I say, yeah, it does. He could have. succumb to the temptation because he had placed himself under the law. And if he would have succumbed to the temptation, he would have been bound to the penalty of the law. Which means he wouldn't have been the perfect sacrifice for us. And the birth would have been for naught. Okay, Pastor, let's see if I got this right. Jesus came. He is God, but He set aside the fullness of His deity and came as an infant and submitted Himself to the law which He is over. And that by submitting Himself thusly, if He had broken the law, He would have been subject to it. That's exactly what I'm saying. Because that's exactly what Scripture says. He was under the law. But He lived the life that was sinless. So that He could be the perfect sacrifice. So that He could pay the penalty for my sins. And your sins. And the sins of our parents and grandparents. And the children and of our children and grandchildren. Sin came into the world through an unexpected means. It wasn't a frontal attack. It was a small lie. You don't really die. You know, like that, like right away. Salvation comes not as trumpets from heaven. That will be the end, the sign of the end. But salvation came through a woman, through a child born of a woman. That child was God Himself. And God sent His Son, born of a woman, under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights as sons. As children of God, we have the entirety of the kingdom of God as our heritage. As our inheritance. And we'll get to receive it in the fullness of time. Just as the Savior came in the fullness of time, we will receive it in the fullness of time. And when is that? That's when God has said it will be. He hasn't told us. God has made the determination. It's the parent who decides when the child shall receive the inheritance and the full benefit of it when they set up a will. Some families set up trust funds. These are families that have more wealth than mine. Some families set up trust funds so that when a child hits a certain age or goes through certain rites of passage, resources become available to them. Sometimes it's graduating from high school, sometimes it's graduating from college, sometimes it's getting married, Sometimes it's having children. It's whatever the parent decided it was going to be. And laid out, these are the reasons. This is how it's going to happen. Well, our Father in heaven has laid out how it's going to be for us. And He has laid out several steps to receiving the full inheritance of the kingdom. And the first step, the major step, is receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Receiving the work that He did on the cross. Now remember, the cross is only possible because He was born of a woman and lived a life that was sinless, so that He could be that perfect sacrifice. He came for the purpose of redeeming us so that we could be brought back into the family. And then, at some time, we will receive the rest of our inheritance, the kingdom of heaven. Some will see that with a trumpet call and as Jesus comes with the hosts of heaven. Some of us may be alive when that happens. May not. I don't know. Some of us may go receive our inheritance in heaven at an earlier time. We go to be with Him as we pass from life here on earth to life, eternity, with the Lord. But nonetheless, we still are children of God, sons and daughters of the Abba Father. All because God is willing to come and be born of a woman so that we could have salvation and be redeemed. So as you remember Christmas this year, remember what it's about. It's not about gifts. It's not about power. It's not about many of the things that we associate. It is about God's great gift of submitting Himself to the same experiences that we have had, and to be under the law as we were under the law. Now remember, once we've received Christ, the law no longer has power over us. We are freed from it. Remember, that's Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Son Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for the gift that You gave us on that Christmas morning. Some 2,000 or more years ago. You came and lived so that we might have eternal life. You died so that our sins could be forgiven and washed away. And You rose again to be the first fruits of life eternal, which is there for all who receive salvation that You brought. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your gift, which we celebrate in Jesus' name. Amen.